Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. My friends, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. God meant that to be mentioned. I hadn't intended personally to mention that, but God put it in my heart to say that. And I thank the Lord for his leading. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 31, just one verse there I want to read with you. The previous word I was going to bring was Acts 16, verse 23 to 36, and our brothers conquered that. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God for the leading of Almighty God. Genesis 31 and verse 13. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And then further over in Psalm 103, and there are two verses of Psalm 103, 21 and 23. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God add his blessing to these further readings of his precious word to all our hearts. My dear friends, my testimony, and I know that there are quite a number of you have heard me testify in years gone by, but like the psalmist David, I'm going to repeat myself. For that's what the psalmist did in occasions, he repeated himself. And I'm sure you're just like the psalmist David, there are times you repeat yourself too. But my dear late wife Betty said to me on one occasion, she said, Sam, do you not realize you said that to me five times? And that often happens, doesn't it? But my friends, as I give my testimony tonight, I've got notes in front of me. Yes, I've got notes in front of me. And the reason for that is I could maybe misrepresent the notes that I have down by giving you the beginning at the end, and the end at the beginning, and the middle, and maybe at the end as well. And so it's good to have the notes in front of you to keep you right. That's not a hidden thing, and it's something which I believe is very, very necessary, certainly very necessary in my case. But anyway, I want to give you a precept of my early life. My late wife Betty said to me many years ago when I was preparing a sermon, she said, Sam, could you not do a precept of your sermon? So I said, well, what do you mean a precept? She says, cut it down. Sorry, brother, I'm just looking at you in terms of everybody else. Amen. But I want to give you a precept of my early life. And some people say, don't be telling all the bad things you did and so on. Well, my friends, I'm going to tell you some of the things that I did do. And it's not that I want any glory about it, for I don't glory in the wrong things I had done in my life. However, at the end of my testimony, I desire God's glory to be evident. I was born in 1943. My family consisted of, there were six brothers and one sister. My dad passed away in 1945 at the age of 45. He was a very hard-working farmer, But thank God a Baptist pastor led my dad to the Lord before he passed away, and he's in heaven. My mum, she passed away, but thank God she got saved shortly before, a week I think it was, before she passed away at the age of 98. My eldest brother, Richard the First, that's not the Richard the First, by the way, in 1220 or whatever, whatever year it was, but my eldest brother, was, I just term him as Richard the First, he passed away just after birth. And then Richard the Second, he was born after my sister, and thank God my brother Dick, as he was known, he got saved at 60 years of age, sitting on two concrete blocks out in the shed where he was working with the spuds or potatoes. However, thank God Richard, my brother Dick, is in heaven as well. A week later, that was a week later, my sister Stella then, she had MS for 45 years, but thank the Lord, approximately 2 to 3 years ago, my sister Stella got saved, and she has recently gone to heaven also. Two of my brothers are not yet saved, and I long to see them getting saved. However, my youngest brother Noel, he was born on the 25th of December, 1945, after my dad passed away. And so, as a family, we were sent along to Sunday school and church regularly. And as a young boy, I was actually truthfully dyslexic. And I didn't know that big word in those days, but that was the truth. But if I was taught something patiently, then I got it. But sometimes teachers are so swift to speak that they miss out in poor wee critters like myself. However, I was brought up to clean the spuds and polish the shoes out on the steps up to the loft or loft. And that had to be done on a Saturday. My ma was a very proud household lady. And she used to say things like, "Don't be sitting in that cushion." However, I'm glad that I was brought up in a lovely, clean home. My mother was a great pianist, and as a little boy, I used to stand beside her at the piano, and I sang my first solo at 4 years of age in the Mourne Presbyterian Church in Kilkeel, where I was taught, thank God, the scriptures from the old-fashioned King James Bible. And I thank the Lord for that, and would to God they would turn back to it. Because I was at a funeral today, and they read out of another perverted version, watering down the gospel. That's an awful carry on. You know, even though I was dyslexic, thank God, God was able to give me the interpretation of his holy word. And thank God for that. But anyway, I've got to be careful. I've got to keep sticking to my notes here. Well, anyway, I was also taught the catechism. And yet through it all, I did not, my friends, understand about salvation. And it's not a bit of wonder I didn't understand about salvation, because I was actually dead. I was dead spiritually. And I couldn't understand, you see. And it would have been a quite good job if I had somebody like Reverend McLaughlin to come and see me and try to point me the right road. But thank God, I was pointed the right road. Praise the Lord for that. I was sent along, my friends, as a young boy of 11 and a half years of age, to the Masonic Boys' School in Dublin. Now, I want to tell you, I've no time for the Masonic Order. It's of the devil. It's not of God at all. Whenever it comes to the crunch, you don't mention the name of Jesus in it. And it's a paganistic load of nonsense. But my dad was a Mason, and whenever he had passed on, it left the way open for me to go to the school in Dublin, 11 and a half years of age. Well, I hated it. To tell you the truth, I just hated it. And I couldn't understand algebra. Now, if I were to say to you folk here tonight, or nyahar ato or nyav nyevit or tanam, Tugged the reek, gender to hiller, talath mara, gender and yav. Can anybody tell me what that means? Well, I know you can't. Or if you can, you're not saying it. That is actually Irish for the Lord's Prayer. That's Irish for the Lord's Prayer. And if I ever learnt anything good down in the Dublin school, it was the Lord's Prayer, even in the Irish language. And so thank God for that. But anyway, I could not for the life of me understand algebra. It was just like me talking to you there in that other language. But I'm glad I was able to interpret it, brother. Well, we don't believe in false doctrine. We believe in preaching what's right. Although we don't boast in our denomination, our boasting is in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God I'm a member of the Free Presbyterian Church, and I'm glad, because I've learned a lot through the witness of the Free Church all down through the years. And anyway, I'm sidetracking a wee bit there, but you always get a wee bit in extra, don't you? But anyway, this man, this algebra teacher, he got it into his head that I was been stubborn about the algebra, you see. And what did he do? Oh, he was a twisted character. What did he do? He reported me to the headmaster of the school, and away late at night, there was a call come, Houston, you've got to go and see Dr. Storey. So I went down to see him, and he never asked me my opinion. What happened? He didn't even ask me my viewpoint. He says, Houston, he says, take your pajama trousers down. And he whaled me 12 of the worst whacks on my bare bottom. And for 2 weeks, I couldn't sit on a seat. And mind you, if they'd done that today, they'd be put into prison for it. But anyway, whenever I got saved, I prayed if that man was still living, that God would have mercy on him and forgive him and save him. Anyway, so that's fair enough. Then another incident happened where they used to have a big ruler, a big wooden ruler, and maybe you junior fellows know about that, and it was about an inch and a quarter, or maybe an inch and 3/16 wide, and it was about a metre long, and about at least a quarter of an inch thick. And they used to come along and hit me in the wee knuckles, and there was lumps rose up on my knuckles as a result of further cruelty. Anyway, whenever I left the school at 15 and a half years of age, that morning I wakened up my brother Albert, who was also at the school, and my young brother Noel was at the school, and my sister was at the girls' school. And I wakened up Albert, and I says, Albert, come on. And it was bucketing out of the heavens. The rain was coming down in thunderbolts. And it was powerful altogether. Albert, he says, what are you going to do? He says, aye, come on with me and you soon see what I'm going to do. Now, I wouldn't recommend for you to do this, by the way. But anyway, what happened was I thought I would get my own back on these rascals of teachers that were misbehaving and hurting me. I thought, man, I'd get my own back. Well, you know the way you would there. A good big hit, or whatever you want to call it. So Albert, he said to me, what are you going to do? I says, I tell you, just come on with me here. So we went in and we got the man's wee squitter. He had a wee bit of a lisp, and he talked about his squitter, which actually his scooter. And I says, give me a wee bit of a push here. And he gave me a bit of a push on the scooter side. When he get going, I said, jump on behind me. And what are you going to do? I said, you'll soon see what I'm going to do. So we got down, and you can imagine this was a field here, and there was a big slope way down in here, a big hollow down in there, just right where you are. And with so much water, the place was flooded. And there was a broken barbed wire fence. And Albert says, what are you going to do? Well, I took the squitter and I just threw it into the water. And all you could see was... there was nothing, only bubbles. And you know what I'm going to tell you? I have to say in earnestness and truthfulness, I was really glad that day, because I felt I got my own back on it. However, as I said, don't ever try to do things like that, because that's not the way to go. Anyway, That was that. Then, sadly, as a young man, I committed a misdemeanor, and I felt so guilty, and it was nothing in comparison with stuff that people do in this world today, but I felt so guilty. I had to face a court, and the judge said, "What are you going to do now?" I said, "I'm going to go to England." And I went to England. And you know what I'm going to tell you, friends? What I was really doing was I was running away because I was guilty. I felt so guilty of doing a wrong. And I thought, if I get away, well, I'll be nobody over there, know nothing. But I carried that guilt, my friends, for 10 years in my mind. Couldn't get over it until, and this is the point, but I'll tell you that in a wee minute. Let me get to my notes here again. When I was in England, I qualified in the drapery business. And then I returned to Northern Ireland, got a transfer from the firm I was with, Austin Reeds in Belfast. And like a whole lot of people that works for companies, you don't really get much of a wage, really. So I thought to myself, I always wanted to be a joiner as a young fella. But my ma thought, because I was at a boarding school, man, they used to talk about boarding schools as something very rather nice, you know. Well, no, that wasn't my opinion. But I would have loved to have been a joiner. But I finished up anyway. I was speaking to Willie Wright of Wright's, the coach builders in Ballymena. And I said, I would love to see if I could take up the welding, fitting and welding. And she said, well, he says, if you qualify, he says, there's a job for you. And I qualified, and I served my time and qualified in the fitting and welding. And the next thing was I got my leg and my ankle broken in that firm. However, more importantly, my friends, I met early the love of my life. Praise the Lord. That was my wee wife, Betty, who's in heaven. Just over 4 years ago, she passed on. I'm going to see her again. And I'll see all the redeemed of the Lord again. And so will you, my friends. If you're saved, you'll see them. Makes me wonder, is there anybody in the meeting not saved? It's very important to be saved, my friends. But thank God, my dear wife, late wife Betty, we got married in 1967, and God blessed us with two sons. Grant was born in 69, and Alan was born in 1971. In 1970, there was this man came along to the house, the apartment where we lived in Ballymena, and his name was John Thompson. He was a brethren evangelist, and he reached me some tracks, and I only opened up the door this wee bit. And he was beautifully dressed, a bit like myself. I like my style, you know. I like a wee bit of fashion. I'm sure you ladies would agree that. And the fellas, the men are just as bad now. Not right. But anyway, this dear man, thank God, he gave me these gospel tracts. And one of them said, "Where will you spend eternity?" Well, I have come to correct that. You don't spend eternity. It's where will you be in eternity? And so, my friends, Betty, she says, "I'm going to take these leaflets and I'm going to go to bed a wee bit earlier." And she was brought up to go to wee mission halls with her dear mother. Her mother got her left arm cut off here, just below the elbow in the middle in Ballymena. And the dear mother was obviously very fond of hearing the gospel. And I do know that she got saved, and she's certainly in heaven. But she took Betty along to the gospel meetings, and Betty knew she needed to be saved. She understood. And so, thank God, that night, God brought Betty under deep conviction of sin. She realized she was a sinner, and if she died not saved, she would go to hell. And that night, thank God, as she lay in bed, she cried and wept sorely and asked the Lord to forgive her and save her. And my friends, thank God, that's exactly what God did. And the next day she got up, She pointed the finger at me. Imagine that. And nobody likes a finger pointed at them. She pointed at the finger at me. She says, Sam, she says, if you drop dead the way you're living, you'll go to hell. I says, if you don't shut your mouth, woman, I'll fire out over the veranda. That's an awful way to talk to anybody. Don't ever talk to people like that. I know you wouldn't anyway. But you see, she hit the nail in the head, you see. And then I was convicted about what she had said. And I thank the Lord for her faithfulness and that of John Thompson too. And as they explained to me the importance of being saved, I said, what do you mean by this old business of being saved? And she says, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And I says, I didn't ask him to do that. And she just says, ah, but Sam, he's done it. Isn't that wonderful? That the Lord loved me so much that he was prepared to go to the cross and take the punishment for the guilt of my sin. He who had no sin, who could do no sin, and never will ever sin. For he's spotless. He's a sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And he, the just, died for me, the unjust. And I thank God for the faithful reaching out for my soul by a faithful wife and a dear brother in the Lord. And thank God on the 23rd of February, 1970, I came as a sinner to Jesus. I broke down and I cried and cried and cried. And I was so broken over my sin and the fact that God loved me so much that he went to the cross for me. And thank God on that night I got saved. And Betty, praise the Lord, she was a great asset to me. She was a great study of the Bible. And it was wonderful to have such a godly wife in my life. And then whenever I got saved, friends, I had a great desire to be taught of God. And I used to go to my work and I would have witnessed to people. And there was one man come in. When I got the ankle and leg broken, I was in charge of the outside sales, selling steel and all kinds of stuff you'd have for lorries and stuff. And there was a man come in, and I was so burdened about him that I ran to the main gate after him, and the tears were just falling down my face, for I was concerned about his soul. And you know, friends, may God give us all that deep, earnest, honest concern for souls. Because a wee word from you could be the very wee word that God could use for you to help some soul to come to Christ. And I thank God that God gave me the ability to give that man the gospel traction. He was very thankful. Anyway, I knew I needed to be taught of God. So I applied to the Whitfield College of the Bible, and I was accepted there. And then the Lord called me to be the minister of visitation in our Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. And I thank the Lord for that call of God even there. I thank God that some souls did get saved. And on one occasion, one man, when I knocked on his door, he came to the door and he said to me, could you tell me how I could get to heaven? And I just simply told him through what is called the wordless book, different colours, black representing darkness, sin. The white represents the righteousness of God, but the red represents the precious blood of Christ that was shed to wash our black hearts white. And thank God that wee man, I went back to see him 2 weeks later, and he told me he'd got saved and his wife got saved as well. And went a few weeks later on, and a lot of this is coming to my memory now. Maybe not be word for word everywhere I go, but well, sure, what about it? It's the same content anyway. And thank God, they said, my wife and I will want to wash your feet. Not a very strange thing. Want to wash your feet? You know, at that time I had terrible sweaty feet. And I thought to myself, oh dear me. But then I understood what they meant. And they got the chair down, sat down for me to sit down on, and the dish and the water in it. And those two elderly people got down on the floor and they washed my feet. My friends, that was a very humbling experience, even as I relay it to you now. Thank God, I had a great opportunity when I was there to witness to many people, including Premier Brian Mulroney in Canada and many others. You know, friends, it doesn't make any difference whether a person has got a high position or a low position. We all need to be saved, for the Word of God makes it clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm thankful, God, when God's Word got home to me, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Positive message. Praise the Lord. So I thank God for the wonderful blessings. There was a little bit of a hitch when I was in Toronto, but nevertheless, I resigned my position. But nevertheless, I didn't resign from God's work. I'm still at it. And the great thing about it is, it's a great thing to have a forgiving heart. There was a moment in my life when I got kind of hard because of a hurt. But God broke me down, and God melted my heart, and He gave me a heart of flesh. And as I was driving down the highway in Canada, the tears fell down my face. And my friends, a brother in the Lord said to me, "How do you expect God to forgive him if you can't forgive him? Thank God that message got home to me, and I shouted out in the car, "I forgive." And my whole life has been great ever since it. And I thank the God of heaven, the only true and living God, for besides Him, there is none other. And I think I can say certainly that the Lord Jesus Christ is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Like our dear brother here, with great opportunities to go around the country and sing for the Lord. And we've made recordings here and there all over the place, and great help from my friends. And I thank God that it's gone over different parts of the world. And I've no idea who it's going to reach, but I know one thing: God's word has gone out to the world through even the ministry and song. And you'll never believe it, I've got an invitation to go to sing in America. It's not powerful altogether. Now, it's not fully materialized yet. We're in the process of trying to get it sorted out. But I have been, this man, I'm sort of laughing a wee bit. You ever laugh into yourself? Well, I'm kind of having a wee bit of a laugh into myself. There was this man, he invited me to go to sing, and you call him Dr. Johnny Pope. That's his name. He's a Baptist pastor. But I tell you, friends, he takes the same stand as us. He's against sodomy, and he's against all sin. And thank God, I sang a wee bit to him on the phone, and he said, "Brother, I'd like you to come and sing in our church." Isn't that wonderful? So pray that the Lord will have His own way, that things will work out all right for us. And of course, as most of you know, the famous founder of Texas was called Sam Houston. And I'm supposed to be, according to a great aunt of mine, we're supposed to be related to him. But the good thing about it is, I have a book about him, and it tells about Sam Houston in Texas got saved, and he got baptized. Praise the Lord. But baptism can't save you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can save you. We think of the thief on the cross. He wasn't baptized, but thank God he called on the Lord, and the Lord saved him. And so, friends, if you're not saved, it would be my desire that you'd come to know the Lord. Now, this is what you could probably call a bitsy of a sermon, or a message, a testimony. But there you are. That's the way it is. And the best key to be in is be not yourself. God bless you, and thank you, sir.